Harper Audio presents Ripper, a novel by Isabel Allende, translated from the Spanish by Ollie Brock and Frank Witt, performed by Eduardo Ballerini. Mom is still alive, but she's going to be murdered at midnight on Good Friday, Amanda Martin told the deputy chief, who didn't even think to question the girl. She'd already proved she knew more than he and all his colleagues in homicide put together. The woman in question was being held at an unknown location, somewhere in the 7,000 square miles of the San Francisco Bay Area. If they were to find her alive, they had only a few hours, and the deputy chief had no idea where or how to begin. They referred to the first murder as the case of the misplaced baseball bat, so as not to insult the victim by giving it a more explicit name. They were five teenagers and an elderly man who met up online for a role-playing game called Ripper. On the morning of October 11, 2011, at 8:15 a.m., the fourth-grade students of Golden Hills Elementary School raced into the gym to whistle blast from their coach in the doorway. The vast, modern, well-equipped gym, built using a generous donation from a former pupil who had made a fortune in the property market before the bubble burst, was also used for graduation ceremonies, school plays, and concerts. Normally, the fourth graders would run two laps around the basketball court to warm up. But this morning, they came to a shuddering halt in the middle of the hall. Shocked by the grisly sight of a man sprawled across a vaulting horse, his pants pooled around his ankles, his buttocks bared, and the handle of a baseball bat inserted into his rectum. The stunned children stood motionless around the corpse until one 9-year-old boy, more daring than his classmates, bent down, ran his finger through the dark stain on the floor, and realized that it was not chocolate, but congealed blood. A second boy picked up a spent bullet cartridge and slipped it into his pocket, intending to swap it during recess for a porn magazine, while a girl filmed the scene on her cell phone. Just then the coach bounded over to the little group of students, whistle trilling with every breath, and seeing this strange spectacle, which did not look like a prank, suffered a panic attack. The fourth graders raised the alarm. Other teachers quickly appeared and dragged the children kicking and screaming from the gym, followed reluctantly by the coach. The teachers removed the baseball bat, and as they laid the corpse out on the floor, they noticed a bullet hole in the center of the victim's forehead. They covered the body with a pair of sweatpants, closed the door, and waited for the police, who arrived precisely 19 minutes later, by which time the crime scene had been so completely contaminated it was impossible to tell what the hell had happened. A little later, during the first press conference, Bob Martin announced that the victim had been identified as one Ed Staten, 49, a school security guard. "Tell us about the baseball bat," a prurient tabloid journalist yelled. Furious to discover that information about the case had been leaked, which was not only humiliating to Ed Staten, but possibly damaging to the reputation of the school, the deputy chief snapped that such details would be addressed during the autopsy. "What about suspects? The security guard, was he gay?" Deputy Chief Martin ignored the barrage of questions and brought the press conference to a close, assuring those present that the Personal Crimes Division would keep the media informed of all pertinent facts in the investigation now underway, an investigation he would personally oversee. A group of 12th graders from a nearby high school had been in the gym the night before, rehearsing a Halloween musical involving zombies and rock and roll. But they did not find out what had happened until the following day. By midnight, some hours before the crime was committed, according to police, there was no one in the school building. Three teenagers in the parking lot, loading their instruments into a van, had been the last people to see Ed Staten alive. In their statements, they said that the guard had waved to them before driving off in a small car at about 12:30. Although they were some way off, and there was no lighting in the parking lot, they'd clearly recognized
Sample complete. Ready to continue?